Yes, welcome back into the Auburn Daily Show. I'm your host, Harrison Tarr, joined every Wednesday, as always, by the fantastic Dylan Lark, at your boy, The Tank, on Twitter. How are you doing today, Tank?
I'm doing just fine. Got a little sinus infection, I think, going on. So shout out the state of Alabama for messing up my allergies year in and year out. So that's always fun.
That's always a good time. We hope to get you back to full strength ASAP. I'm glad to hear that the vibes are at least high. And I know I'm cutting in and out a little bit, so Dylan, if anything happens on my end with the signal, just holler at me and you can take the reins. I know that you're more than capable of doing it. But until that moment happens, I'm going to get ready to let Mr. Tank Talks Football himself talk a little bit of football today. And I know we spend a lot of time in the show talking basketball. Basketball plays on Wednesday this week, plays tonight as this show comes out this evening. A home matchup with Ole Miss. Maybe we'll throw in a little pick there at the end of the show just for fun, Dylan. Why not? Maybe we'll throw that at the end. But for now, let's talk some football. Let's talk Robbie Ashford, and let's talk quarterbacks in the SEC. I know coming up very soon on the College Loop, you'd already kind of mentioned to me that you wanted to talk a little bit about looking around the SEC at other quarterback capabilities and other quarterback rooms and situations and battles, for that matter, as we are just over a week out from spring ball beginning. So let's go down. You built out a list, and this is, for those of you listening at home, this is a sneak peek of Dylan Lark's official spring ball. List of SEC quarterbacks ranked. Dylan, what we're going to do is we're going to go through, and we're not going to spend a too terrible amount of time on each individual candidate, but I do want you to kind of talk about where they stack up against the rest of the field, and most importantly, where let's just operate in the assumption, whether that be Robbie Ashford or Holden Jarner, or I guess TJ Finley or Hank Brown. I guess they're kind of in the conversation, but we assume one of those two guys, Jarner or Ashford, how they really stack up and how they can climb this ladder. So Dylan, if you're ready, let's get right into it, and let's work your way. You want to go bottom to top or top to bottom?
I think bottom to top is probably the best way to go. Just sure. Because a lot of new faces and a lot of new places at the bottom. So it'd probably be easier to start with the lesser known quarterbacks for the SEC.
Well, let's go ahead. You've got your bottom ranked quarterback in the SEC, 14th ranked, is Graham Mertz. Talk to me a little bit about that.
So Graham Mertz is he had a very, very outstanding performance in his first career game for the Wisconsin Badgers. And then he never replicated that performance ever again. He has been a mediocre quarterback since he has won the starting job for Wisconsin, of course, minus that one game. And every year he has that one game where you're like, oh, maybe this is the season Graham Mertz pops off. And then he has other games where he throws two or three interceptions. So he is now with the Florida Gators in a series of events that took place with the Gators where they also lost Jaden Rashada. Because the deal fell through because people don't understand NIL enough. And sure. So he is right now the starting quarterback for the Gators going into spring practice. And you know, Jack Miller might battle out with them, but I think Mertz is probably the guy as it stands right now. And just with how wishy-washy he plays and how inconsistent he is, he's my 14th.
Sure, that makes perfect sense. And even for those of you back home who are sitting there thinking, well, maybe Ashford's not the most consistent guy in the world. I think that I would agree with Dylan on there's more consistency there. And just to plug it back into an Auburn scale there. Now let's bump up to your 13th place here. Quarterback for none other than the Missouri Tigers, presumptive quarterback for the Missouri Tigers, Sam Horn. Let's talk a little bit. Also, he wears the number 21 as a quarterback, unless I'm incorrect there. So that's kind of awesome.
Yeah, he does. He's also a baseball player. So he's going to spring practice as the QB1. And, of course, it's going to be like a three-man battle going into the spring. Brady Cook, who we all know played against Auburn this past year, he had a pretty inconsistent season as well. And he just had surgery, I believe, on his rotator cuff. Something in his arm got surgery, and he's going to miss the first bit of spring practice. But then, of course, whenever it's over with, it's going to be back to a three-man battle with Brady Cook, Jake Garcia, who Tar is very familiar with, and Sam Horn, who I think is probably going to be the guy going into spring practice. I just think we haven't seen enough of him. I know it's probably not fair to make him 13 over Graham Mertz, but I think he is the talent.
I understand where you're coming from. And this is not dissimilar, and I want to keep kind of running parallel so people can kind of get a gauge of where Auburn's at in the quarterback room compared to the rest of the SEC. Because we keep talking about, is it going to be Ashford? Is it going to be Jarner? Is it going to be a transfer portal guy? Which all of those are quite possible to just call a spade a spade. But you're going to see in these lower level, once you middle of the road and down, there's still a little bit of competition almost everywhere. And nobody's job safe beyond there's a cutoff, right, Dylan? And we'll get to that cutoff. But yes, your next candidate that you had qualified, I don't think is guaranteed a spot either. Connor Wegman, right?
Connor Wegman.
It's Wegman. Excuse me.
Yeah. No, Connor Wegman is A&M.
A&M, excuse me. Vanderbilt's AJ Swan. My apologies.
Yes, you're looking ahead to my next spot. But Connor Wegman, I think he has a lot of talent. I think I have him this low strictly because I think his coordinators are going to mess him up a little bit. I don't think that Jimbo Fisher hired the right offensive coordinator. I think he just hired the biggest name available. And, I mean, I don't think Bob Petrino is probably the best name, but he is probably the biggest name that has been hired because of what has happened and transpired with Arkansas. If you don't know about that, please just go look it up. It's an hilarious story. But Connor Wegman, talent there. This is where the list kind of gets a little, like, tricky because all these guys are pretty good. But, I mean, after Sam Horn and Graham Mertz, Connor Wegman, I think he has the potential to be really good. I just think he needs a better OC.
Sure. Higher or lower, or I guess equal ceiling to that of Robbie Ashford?
I think he's more of the passer type. I think maybe he does have probably a lower ceiling just because of where he's at and the talent loss that A&M suffered this past offseason. So I think it does lower his season a little bit. And we still have two more years of Robbie Ashford. So I'll say he has a lower ceiling.
Lower ceiling, maybe a little bit higher floor?
Possibly, yes. I would agree with that, yes.
That's kind of how I would feel as well in that same boat. Let's jump to now I can talk a little bit about the Commodores, about A.J. Swan, and talk to me about where this kid is. I mean, we don't really know a lot about him. He had a solid freshman year, but we don't know a ton about him in terms of longevity.
Yeah, he had a great freshman year for the Vanderbilt Commodores, a very silent, very good year. He started as a backup behind Mike Wright, who has transferred to Mississippi State, which came out about a month ago, which I think is pretty cool because now you get a little air raid mix, a little dual threat action going on in that QB room. But A.J. Swan, I think he's a great decision maker, 10 touchdowns and 2 interceptions last season, which I know 10 touchdowns is a lot, but for a Vanderbilt quarterback, a 5-1 touchdown interception ratio is pretty dadgum good.
He's goated, actually. And
I think he also, with Connor Wegman, I think he also suffers from just the fact Vanderbilt's not there where they want to be just yet. I think this recruiting class coming in is really good for them. And I just think that they just need a little bit longer with A.J. Swan. I think he could end up being in my top 10, maybe my top 7 in a year or so, just because I just want a little bit more out of the Vanderbilt recruiting class. Dylan, I trust Clark Lee.
Larkman is high on A.J. Swan. I respect it, Dylan, and I completely understand where you're coming from. He will also get to, in theory, assuming Robbie Ashford wins the starting job, those two will get to duel it out this year. So you'll get to see them go head-to-head in what could be kind of a fun little offensive game there. So that's something to keep an eye on the radar. That'll be on November 4th, Saturday, November 4th in Nashville, Tennessee. Lovely place to be in November. No, not lovely place to be any time of the year. Just ask.
And a revenge game for Donovan Kaufman and Elijah McAllister a little
bit. That's right. So. Absolutely.
A little shout out over there to the former Vandy boys.
Right. Hey, let's jump over from we're talking and we keep making it come back to an Auburn quarterback. Let's talk a little bit about an Alabama quarterback. Let's talk about your number 10 guy. And I think this one might be a little lower than I might have put him, but this is your list. And, you know, I'm always right. Sometimes you have to be wrong. I'm kidding. Let's talk a little bit about Jalen Milroe and really where you think he could be this year and in comparison to Robbie Ashford.
Yeah, so we saw I'm not going to say the downfall because that almost came out of my mouth. We saw a little bit of a decline from the Alabama offense. If Bryce Young didn't play some of those games, Alabama might have ended up 8-4, just speculating. And I think those games where Jalen Milroe came in, I think he showed a lot of potential, but also saw where he had a lot of bad decision-making. I mean, 5 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. And Jalen Milroe starts off the list of the 4 players in a row that I had a very hard time ranking just because I don't know. And I think Jalen Milroe, I think he's real close to being that top 5 comparison. I think he's also real close to being out, like, right at the top 10 or outside of it just because I don't even know if he's going to win the starting job. Ty Simpson's right at his coattails. And I just think Milroe, if he doesn't show great decision-making, he could see himself being lower and he could end up getting benched in the first game of the season if he does end up starting, if he doesn't fix some things very quickly.
Interesting to think about, though, Dylan, that the state of college football, if you will, at the state of Alabama, both of your big universities are having a true quarterback competition. going into 2023. And that's something that if you're living in the state lines and you're cheering for whether that be crimson and white or orange and blue, you ought to be keeping an eye on it, because these guys are ultimately going to duke it out there at the end of the season for the biggest rivalry in college sports. So something quite interesting, and I would like to add just a little note here in terms of how this relates to Robbie Ashford. I think if you plug Robbie Ashford into a scheme that the Jalen Milroe is actively plugged into, I actually think Ashford probably has a little bit of a higher skill set depending on where his arm's at. Now, I actually think that they have a lot of very similar things to work on. Mm-hmm. I would say the ceiling's a little bit higher, but fundamentally, in decision-making football IQ, I think the edge goes to Jalen Milroe, correct?
Yes, I would say so. But I also think that rushing-wise, I think Robbie Ashford is that dude.
Oh, sure.
I also think that Hugh Freeze probably is the better QB developer between the two coaches, just because Nick Saban's a defensive guy. And I think that the offensive coordinator that Nick Saban hired, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, so I'm going to make it sound like I'm just talking out of my rear end for this one, but I think it's a really good hire. I think it's the best out of the two coordinator hires for Nick Saban, just because he got an up-and-coming offensive coordinator. But I would like
it to Reese. Be
a yes. And I think Reese is probably – he did good for what Notre Dame had last season. So I think it's going to be interesting to see if he can show a little bit quarterback development. He probably is kicking the dirt a little bit that he gets to miss out on having Sam Hartman, but I guess coaching at Alabama is not bad either.
Yeah, that's probably an equal trade-off in my opinion. Let's keep the ball rolling before we've got one more guy before we talk about someone that we're going to take a little break and come back to. Let's talk a little bit about Spencer Sanders. And this one, this guy might be the biggest question mark maybe in recent college football in terms of glimpses of really, really good and glimpses of very, very bad.
Yes. Spencer Sanders, of course, Auburn didn't offer him, but Ole Miss thinks they won the sweepstakes for him. That's just me throwing a little shade there. But I don't know how well I can't think of the top of my head, but I think the Big 12 plays an entirely different game than the SEC does offensively. And I don't know if Spencer Sanders is ready for the complete rushing attack that will be brought to him. And I mean, he's not going to pass the ball as much as he did at Oklahoma State. And he's not going to have the same amount of numbers. He's going to have probably, I want to say less passing yards, but he probably wouldn't have his career high. And I think this offseason for Ole Miss is going to be full of a lot of drama, just because, I mean, they have three quarterbacks that want that job. And I think they kind of backdoor Jackson Dart a little bit, who has three more years of eligibility.
Right.
And I think I hate it for Jackson Dart. I don't hate the guy. I do hate his little face paint thing, because it's kind of a little weird. But I mean, I'm a Star Wars nerd too, so I can understand why he did it. But I think Spencer Sanders is going to find himself down here specifically because I think the other guys are more talented than he is. And I honestly, if I was thinking about it a little bit harder, I probably would have put Milroe over Spencer Sanders.
I don't talk yourself out of it. Stay confident with your.
I'm not talking myself out.
I don't completely disagree. I think Spencer Sanders, the upside there is his experience that he brings to the table and his known passing capabilities and ability to kind of escape the pocket when he needs to. He can kind of get it done both ways, which sounds a little bit like a guy that wears orange and blue on the plains of Auburn, Alabama. So we're getting ready to talk about your ninth ranked with Spencer Sanders. We're getting ready to talk a little bit about your eighth ranked player on the quarterback list in the SEC for 2023. But before we do that, Dylan, I wanted to take a moment, step aside, and say that this season, the Auburn Daily has partnered with Prize Picks to bring some fun and variety to the picks in 2023. Prize Picks is a free app that allows you to choose any 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 players from any sport in your wagers, predict the over or under for the next game, and win big prizes if they do well. They have flex options where you can still get paid on winning only 3 of 5 or 2 of 3, and you can have multiple sports in the same parlay. That's one that I love. I know a lot of our buddies love it, Dylan. Super convenient to be able to throw a bunch of different things in there, and that way you can run the whole Buffalo Wild Wings offense in your living room. Best of all, use promo code Auburn, that's AUBURN, to receive double on your first deposit up to $100. That's promo code Auburn, just like the song AUBURN, for double your first deposit this college basketball season and NBA season, moving toward baseball season. Lots of things going on. Partner with Prize Picks and the Auburn Daily. Hang out with us and use promo code Auburn, AUBURN. Dylan, it's time. after I butchered the end of that, but it's okay. We're gonna power through. And I got a little excited there. I do love Prize Picks. It's very convenient and funny part of it too. It's time to talk about your number 8 quarterback in the SEC in 2023. Let's talk a little bit about Robbie Ashford. Where is his floor? Where is his ceiling? How does he move up?
His floor. I'm gonna use some lingo for all of you Auburn fans out there, including myself. His floor, John Franklin III. His ceiling, Nick Marshall. That is where I would put him, just because the skill set is there. And I guess the median would be Malik Willis in the orange and blue jersey, not the red and blue that he wore at Liberty. But speaking of Malik Willis, there's a lot of similarities between their two games. And we saw what Hugh Freeze did whenever he got a raw talent level Malik Willis, turned him into a third round pick, but a quarterback in the NFL. And I think giving Robbie Ashford the same amount of time that he gave to Malik Willis, I think Robbie Ashford has a really high ceiling. And I mean, that's evident with the Nick Marshall comparison, just because I think Robbie Ashford has the tangibles. I think he's on the pinnacle, just a little bit more consistency, just need a little bit more ball security. And I know those are big things to change, but I think that if they get them done, and I trust Philip Montgomery, I love the staff that Hugh Freeze has built. I like Hugh Freeze's potential with Robbie Ashford.
I don't disagree, Dylan. And as we move upward, I am going to ask you, if you'll throw in after we talk about these guys super quickly, how Robbie Ashford can climb to the top of the SEC quarterback board or your SEC quarterback board in 2023, because it's a little top heavy, but it's not too top heavy. This is not the craziest year we've seen in recent memory for SEC quarterbacks. I don't think I'm exaggerating there. Let's go ahead and jump up to number 7, and let's talk about presumptive UGA starter, Carson Beck.
Yes. Carson Beck is also running a three-headed monster of a quarterback battle, because he's going to be battling out with former five-star quarterback Brock Vandegrift and, I believe, five-star quarterback Gunnar Stockton. I think he's a five-star. He's either a five-star or a very high four-star. He's one of the two. But I think Carson Beck is going to win the starting job, because he did have the second-team reps behind Stetson Bennett. And in the games that he showed, I know he probably played a little more garbage time. He did get to play the national championship for a little bit, but that's just because that game was out of hand in the first quarter. But I think Carson Beck showed a lot of great decision-making, and I just think he has a talent level. My one thing that might ruin his stock would be the fact that the blanking on the names. Georgia offensive coordinator Todd Monken has left for the NFL, and they replaced him with Mike Bobo. So that's where I kind of draw the line. I'm like, well, he could have a down year that we saw from like the Stetson Bennett era, just because I don't know how great Mike Bobo is. Actually, I do, because he was offensive coordinator 2 years ago for the Auburn Tigers. But the talent level is there for Georgia just to kind of make Bobo look better than he is. And I think Carson Beck is really talented. Georgia wouldn't have got him if he wasn't. And I think he's just a little bit better than Robbie Ashford.
What do you need to see out of Ashford to move him up?
Decision-making. I saw out of Carson Beck. I need to see it out of Robbie Ashford.
There you go. Let's talk a little bit about Joe Milton, and then talk about how Robbie Ashford can climb up to that 6th spot.
Joe, this is going to be a little tougher for Robbie Ashford to get there in the spring, though. Joe Milton is the presumptive quarterback for the Tennessee Volunteers. That is because I believe they're going to redshirt Nico. And Joe Milton has a rocket, has a cannon of an arm. You cannot describe his throw power enough. This dude can throw the ball 100 yards standing flat-footed. And we saw him play. He almost had 1,000 yards, and he did not play a lot of games. No. 971 yards, 10 touchdowns, no interceptions. And this guy doesn't throw checkdowns. This dude throws that ball down the field, no questions asked. And I think this is going to be where Tennessee kind of picks up where they left off with Hendon Hooker. And, I mean, I like Joe Milton's ceiling.
For Ashford to climb up, I'd probably note that's obviously got to be arm strength, and it's got to be decision-making on downfield balls. Yes. And trusting his guys, which I think that most of us here at the Auburn Daily would agree that this is a receiving group that could really help him in that regard too. So something to keep an eye on for his ability to move up, maybe probably not the spring like you mentioned, but come fall of 2023, I mean, this ladder could be climbed, and your next stop would be at number 5, Devin Leary.
Yeah, so Devin Leary is a guy who came into the season ranked in the top five for returning quarterbacks. I mean, the ACC had a lot of those guys, Devin Leary, Sam Hartman, and Tyler Van Dyke from Miami. All those guys just had kind of off season. Sam Hartman couldn't help it because he had a couple of injuries, illness. So I'm not going to put any blame on Sam Hartman. I love Sam Hartman. But Devin Leary suffered from a lack of an offensive coordinator. Tyler Van Dyke suffered from a lack of offense. So I see Devin Leary as kind of picking up a little bit. He doesn't have to rely on his arm as much at Kentucky. They are more of a running team. I'll be interested to see who picks up the running back position after Chris Rodriguez and Kavassier Smoke both have left Kentucky. So that's going to be very interesting to see. But I like Devin Leary's veteran skills. He's a great passer, doesn't make a lot of mistakes, and, I mean, he's a great all-around quarterback. I thought he could have went to the pros if he wanted to.
And for Ashford to catch up for him, I presume you'd be in the same boat for me. A lot of this is just getting reps and developing that veteran mindset, that veteran football IQ. And I know that feels like a little bit of a broken record, but football IQ is so big in the SEC. If you're not a sound, intelligent football player, especially at the quarterback position, it's going to be an uphill battle, and you're going to be fighting a lot of extreme athletic duels.
I'll say my facts are wrong. Devin Leary suffered a season-ending injury, but his season wasn't as progressive as it was last season. So that's where I was getting at before I get called out for calling out a dude who got injured last season.
I was just going to let you roll with it, and I was going to not say anything. I'm sure people will chime in on this one. Number four being Spencer Rattler, and this is a guy that I think that I'll go ahead and say this, Dylan, hot take. You probably have, in my opinion, a little bit high, and that's just my opinion. And a guy that I think Robbie Ashford could find himself significantly better than by the end of 2023.
So Spencer Rattler has the audacity to always be in my head when I think about a top five quarterback. And I put in my top five quarterbacks last season as well when I ranked those, just because I think he has the talent to get there. And looking at South Carolina going forward, I think they're going the right direction. I like where Spencer Rattler ended off the season. As soon as Satterfield was gone, not calling plays anymore, Spencer Rattler looked a whole lot better. That is where they beat Clemson. That is where they beat Tennessee, was whenever Scott Satterfield quit calling the plays. And when I saw the potential that Spencer Rattler has, that's why he is this high. And, I mean, I'm going to get a lot of crap for a lot of these picks, but I like Spencer Rattler's potential. I think he couldn't end up being in the Heisman race if he does perform too his skill level. And I mean, Shane Beamer's, I love me some Beamer ball.
He's that dude for sure. Someone else is kind of that dude. Will Rogers, Mississippi State, coming back for should be his last year of eligibility, correct?
No, he's a junior, I believe. I think he has 2 years.
Oh, he has two left.
He played his freshman year's COVID year.
Right, right.
But you are skipping a dude that I put at number three.
Am I just not reading? I'm sorry, Jaden Daniels. For whatever reason, I just read past it. Your handwriting's something to behold, Dylan. Love you, bud. But the same handwriting is a sight.
Yeah, it's a bit of a it's my one downfall as a human being is my bad handwriting.
Let's quickly talk the LSU family, and then let's keep moving.
Yeah, so Jaden Daniels is also probably going into a little bit of a QB battle, but not as close as some might think. Garrett Nussmeier, who completely torched Georgia defense. Jaden Daniels has a lot of his ceiling is so high just because he's such a dual threat. He's really good at what he does. I think LSU always has the talent to surround him. And that's why I think LSU is still going to compete for the SEC West title just because Jaden Daniels came back.
His game, if Robbie Ashford really, really works on, I guess, all aspects, their games are not that different. And that's a guy that if I'm Robbie Ashford, I would want to mirror myself after or build myself kind of in that image. That's going to be a fun game this year, Auburn, LSU, and Baton Rouge, and getting to see those two guys go head-to-head because it's going to kind of feel like you're watching a little bit similar offenses. Take on similar defensive schemes, and then not, this is irrelevant and ad hominis, but it's also the DeMario Tolan revenge game. So you have a lot of opportunities there. That should be an exciting one, though, for both sides, and an opportunity for Robbie Ashford to really prove where he kind of stands early going in the SEC season. So let's keep rolling. We got two left. We've got your number two guy, Will Rogers. I tried to say this a minute ago. Junior Will Rogers at Mississippi State, who's going to sling the ball all over the field. We know this. And the clear answer before you get into this about how Robbie Ashford catches up to Will Rogers is to become an incredibly good passer.
Yes, if you were unaware of the rest in peace, Mike Leach, college football is going to miss you forever. I love you. Mike Leach, one of my all-time favorite coaches of all time. But under that Mike Leach system, in three seasons, Will Rogers has brought himself into the top five of all-time passing yards in the SEC, which is completely bonkers to think about because the dude's only played, I mean, COVID year, he only threw for 2,000 yards, but then after that, almost 5,000 and then almost 4,000. But the 36 touchdowns, 35 touchdowns in back-to-back years. Dude's talented. Dude can sling the rock. I don't know what kind of scheme Mississippi State's going into the season. I would have presumed they're not going to have a full air raid like they did the past couple of years under Mike Leach.
That's the assumption, yes.
Yes, but I still like where Will Rogers is. I think he's probably the most underrated quarterback in the SEC, maybe even the country.
Sure, and like I said, that's one of the ways that the Robbie Ashford catches up to Will Rogers is to become an incredibly good passer. So that's going to be a long road for Robbie Ashford for sure. It's definitely not his super strong suit. We've seen glimpses. Let's not forget about the Iron Bowl. Kid balled out. Kid played a great passing game. Played a great game overall. But that's another one of those situations where you really just have to keep working toward it. Also, on that same note, another guy that Robbie Ashford is going to be chasing this year in terms of relevancy in the SEC. Arkansas's KJ Jefferson, assuming that team doesn't crash and burn, which hot take is may upset some people. They may have a head coach on the hot seat if things don't go well in Arkansas after this year, and I'm a big believer in Pittman, but I'm not entirely sure that this is headed the right direction. That's ad hominis, neither here nor there, like I said. KJ Jefferson, who he is, Dylan, why he's number one, and how Robbie Ashford can chase him.
So Auburn fans are all aware of quarterbacks being compared to Cam Newton. On and off again, no matter what. If a quarterback is a big-bodied, dual-threat quarterback, he's going to get compared to Cam Newton. We saw it with Anthony Richardson, who is definitely not Cam Newton level. We saw it with Joey Gatewood, who's not Cam Newton level. KJ Jefferson's probably the closest one out of any of those guys who have been Cam Newton level, but that's also saying he's not even half the quarterback Cam Newton is because no one can be that.
Sure.
But KJ Jefferson is the best quarterback in the SEC this season. I think if you watch Arkansas's previous season where they went 7-6, a lot of those losses and all those bad games came from the fact that KJ Jefferson was either injured, played injured, or just wasn't in the game at all. And I just think that his talent level, he can sling the rock, he can run it, he can run you over. He is not afraid to take a hit. That's probably why he dealt with some injuries this past year. Impossible to bring down. Downfall, Kendall Briles left for TCU. And hopefully if KJ Jefferson can stay healthy, he's going to carry this Arkansas team to – hopefully 8 or 9 wins. I don't think 7-6 is a terrible season for Arkansas fans because, I mean, they were under Chad Morris. That team was down so bad that they were happy to see more than 5 wins in a season.
Sure.
But, yeah, I would like to see him get a little healthier. Robbie Ashford this season, I don't know if he's going to be the KJ Jefferson level unless KJ Jefferson has completely downfall this season because of Kendall Briles may have saved Arkansas fans in some games, and he also ruined Arkansas in some games. So I'll be interested to see how his offense is different. But KJ Jefferson is going to be that dude, and he has a pretty daggum good running back in Raheem Sanders, who's the best running back in the SEC. And, I mean, Arkansas brings back the best 1-2 tandem in the backfield in the SEC sure. as it stands right now.
Sure. And to kind of wrap that up together, Dylan, I just want to ask you real quick. This is your list going into the spring of 23, and I don't disagree with a lot of it. There's a handful of things that I would change, a handful of things that anybody would change, and vice versa. If I were to make a list, you'd feel the same way. I do want to pick your brain a little bit here just quickly before we wrap this thing up and get out of here. There is a large, I guess, wiggle room for Robbie Ashford to keep building himself up, or even Holden Jarner for that matter, but we presume it's Ashford. Robbie Ashford to elevate himself and vault himself up this list. Like, there is room for plenty of growth even within the league, right?
Oh, yes. I this list can be completely different. I could have 14 different options for each number on this list come November, really, and really sure. come July, just because I'm a sicko and I'm going to watch all of the spring games for all of these teams.
Sure.
Just because I want to see who's winning what position, who's going to be different on this list. Jalen Milroe might not even be on the list at all, just because Ty Simpson might just completely blow him out of the water. You just never know. There might be a guy on Arkansas who's better than KJ Jefferson. I doubt it, but it could happen just because spring ball is such a volatile sport, and you know the transfer portal is not over with yet. Transfer portal is going to be hot and bothered after spring practice. And and we don't know who's going to be where. New faces, new places. There's going to be 3 quarterbacks in the transfer portal from Ole Miss. We don't know.
Sure. But it's a wild, wild west in the transfer portal, and an even more wild west, or a southeast rather, in the Southeastern Conference. Dylan, thank you so much for shedding some insight, shedding some light on your picks for the quarterbacks in the SEC going into 2023 spring ball. I know that you're going to be a sicko and watch all the film on every spring game. I wish you the best of luck with that. I'm sure I'll probably wind up watching at least 3/4 of them myself, because I'm a sicko myself. Tell everybody where they can find you, where they can support you, where they can love you, and check out more of your work.
All right. Well, if you're watching the YouTube version, my Twitter is right there, at your boy the tank. If you just hear me say it, that's at YABOY the tank. And I might have had the tank nickname before Tank Bigsby. We don't know. I got it in high school. So did he. So, you know, you guys can follow me on the College Loop that comes out every Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday. And that we talk all things Auburn sports as we do here. And you can also follow us everywhere except for MySpace and LinkedIn as of right now. That's TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Apple Podcasts. I might be missing a couple. Spotify, that's what I'm missing. But yeah, follow me there.
Thank you much, Dylan. We always enjoy having the opportunity to sit down with you on Wednesdays to talk ball, because God knows we don't do it enough. I'm at By Harrison Tarr on Twitter, By Harrison Tarr. If you're looking for my handle, you can see all my written work, read all that fun stuff over at The Auburn Daily, same place you found this podcast, unless you found it on YouTube, in which case theauburndaily.com, quite easy to find. You can type in your Google search bar. I hope you can find it. Should not be an issue. You can also hear, listen to my, I guess, work with Dylan Lark every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday on The College Loop. As he mentioned, we're talking all three things Auburn throughout the week, 3 episodes, sometimes 4 coming when we get closer to spring football, and multiple sports, and baseball is picking up soon. So we've got a lot of fun stuff coming your guys' way. We've got an interview with former AL Rookie of the Year Greg Olson coming up in the next week. Very excited about that. Had a great opportunity to sit down with Auburn softball's Bree Ellis on Tuesday, yesterday, as this show came out. So lots of fun stuff going on over there. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Auburn Daily Show. We'll be right back here, same place, same time tomorrow. Dylan and I will be back next Wednesday. I'll be back on Friday with the lovely Lindsey Crosby. Always good to talk some baseball and a weekend preview with him. Thank you guys so much for listening. We appreciate your support. Make sure to follow along on all of this, the Auburn Daily socials, and we will see you guys tomorrow.